Yeah, I guess I didn't talk earlier because I was going to talk right now, but yeah, Haiti for me, it's my second time. Like Lucy and Chester and the rest of the group said, you pray for something all year, kind of like Kudrapik, where it really becomes part of your heart, and you pray for that all year, and you're going back home. So for me, I worked with Bill. I did welding and a little bit of construction here and there and whatever. So for me, the trip went really, really well. God is so evident, and the Holy Spirit is so evident. And every time you do a mission trip like that, God just provides, and He's there, and you can just so tell the way He orchestrates things. It's just amazing. But so today, I'm just going to kind of talk to you guys about something that's been on my heart for a while. And because, I guess I'm supposed to be talking about missions, but it kind of relevant to that. One thing I noticed going down into places like Haiti and Jamaica, the way they live their Christianity is very different than the way we do. And going down to the churches and seeing how basic it is for them, and just something they live every day with boldness, and the image of Christianity down there is very different than here too. Haiti, you kind of see it everywhere. They use it almost as advertising, Jesus is pure water, and for water jugs that they're selling, and like it's just everywhere Jesus. And in Haiti and in Jamaica was like that too. And so this morning I'm going to talk about the image of Christianity in North America. And I've the joy of the Lord in my heart, and I'm a happy guy. But when I think about the image that Christianity has here, it's something that hurts me, and it's I'm sad about it, and a little bit angry sometimes. And the thing is, the world has brought that image into place, but we have also caused a lot of it. And so I'm just going to talk. I have a heart for people that are broken, for hurting people. I have a lot of friends that grew up in rough homes. And that are very less fortunate when it comes to having love in their lives or money. But the thing is, when I talk to those people, they don't want to hear anything about church or God because of the image that it has. Holier than thou, you guys are all sinners, that type of image. And so I'm going to talk about that this morning. But I have a hard time talking to those people about God because of that. And so when you think about reaching people in Canada, that image has to change, and that's our job to do that. One thing we have to do is be able to relate to those people. There's too many Christians and my friends as Christians that don't want to relate to people that are unsaved, and it's unfortunate. There's a lot of Christians that just kind of live in their basements and don't want to relate or socialize with the rest of the world, but that's not what we're called to do. If we just concentrate on the rules and regulations, we forget about the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us, and that's to love the Lord our God with all our souls and all our minds and our hearts. And when you do that, you begin to love the people around you. And if you love the people around you, you've got to be able to relate to them and socialize with them. And so with that love, I'd be like, well, I can love somebody, doesn't mean I have to like them. You feel like I love biblical love and godly love. Being patient, kind, not of envy, and endures all things, hopes all things, like we read in Corinthians. We got to look at the people that are around us and not see the we're as bad as the people out there. That's what Christians don't get a lot of the times is we're sinners just like everybody else. The only difference is we're cleansed by Jesus' blood and we're saved. That's the only difference. And so, you know, having this conversations with my friends, it's very hard because, you know, many Christians kind of walk around, you know, well, I can't talk to him. He drinks. Or I can't talk to him. He does drugs. I'm not going to socialize with him. Jesus, when he was here, if he only socialized with his disciples, you know, he wouldn't have gotten very far. He went out and met, you know, the people that needed him the most. Well, we all need him, but you know what I mean. We need to be able to see people as God does. And I think that's one of the big differences between the North American church and churches like in Jamaica and Haiti. We like to call ourselves righteous and all this and look down on people that aren't saved, and it's very unfortunate because now we've created that barrier that shouldn't be there. I'm just gonna if you guys have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew 22, we'll start at verse 37. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is a common verse that we see often. And sometimes we leave the second part out. It says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Why is that the greatest commandment? It's the greatest commandment because if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, you put all your energy and your sole purpose in life is to love God, then all the other things will fall into place. If you love God, you're going to obey His commandments. If you love God, you're going to love the people He created. So, as you know, if I can just encourage you guys and me, of course, like I mean, for that to be your priority, sole purpose, your goal every day is to love God with all your soul and your heart and your mind. And do that same thing for the people around us. And that's hard. I know it's hard. Of your wives, your husbands, your moms and your dads and your sisters and brothers. You say, well, sisters and brothers, come on, we can't love our sisters and brothers that much. But, you know, so we're called to do. It starts at home, and that's something that I struggled with, certainly, for sure. But I just want to give you guys a little example. See, and I've said this to people that I know and that I've had conversations with about this kind of subject, and they say, well, I can love God, but it doesn't mean I'm going to like obey everything. But this is kind of where it goes. If you love your wife, not committing adultery is not a rule. It's just because you love your wife, you're not going to want to commit adultery. You know what I mean? Same thing with if you love God, you're not going to want to hurt Him. It just falls into place if you love God first. And so, you know, not committing murder, it's not a rule. It's not something that's hard to do when you treasure life. Or not stealing. That's not hard to do when you live a life of generosity, right? So that's when the message really becomes relevant to non-believers, is when everything is done through love. And I think the word love has been transformed into something that it's not. And today's society, we think, you know, well, I love them, but, you know, that means I just respect them, or, you know, I kind of, they're just there. But God calls us to much more than that. than just to respect people or just to kind of not want to bother them. You know, we have to love people with the love in the Bible, with biblical godly love. We have to love people with that love and everyone around us. And so anyway, our time is short on earth and other people's time is short, and you know, and I think we have to take every opportunity we can to do that. Colossians 4, verse 5, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. That should be our life. That should be our entire life. Whether you're at work, people say, well, I can't talk about God at work. No. Or I can't do that, you know, at my friend's house because they're not into that whole thing. Life is too short for that. Life is way too short for that. And your job's not that important to not want to win the people there to God. So anyway, I'll kind of wrap this up, but I'll just kind of finish with a story. I was working as a janitor-ish for a summer 2 years ago, and I was working with this guy, my partner, and he at first I really, really, really had a hard time liking this guy. He was very you know, he'd slack all the time. I'd find him like just laying down on the floor. We're supposed to mop the gym, and just comments that he would make. I went to work and I just really had so much resentment against this guy and anger. And one day I went to work and I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna blast him. I'm just gonna, you know, lunch break, whatever. I'm just gonna give it to him, everything I was feeling. And we're mopping the floors in the gym. And I'm just mad, you know, like, because during the break he said some stuff or whatever. And I'm just mad. I'm in the gym. And, you know, I'm mopping the floors, kind of cussing or whatever, and just, And I look up, and it was like an instant, whoa, just like a revelation. Just like God just, I just remember, like, it was 2 years ago, but I remember, like, it's just happening now. My partner was just standing mopping, and I looked at him, and just the conviction of the Holy Spirit on myself. It was intense. And God said, "How dare you? How dare you? Just because he sins differently than you are, you know, I love him just as much as I love you." And I was there, and I just started to cry. I was mopping the floor, crying in the gym. I was like, "Oh!" And after that day, I just began to love him, like, you know what I mean? And since then, I mean, we've had countless conversations about God, but before that, that would have never happened if I would have continued in that anger. But and we're actually pretty good friends now. But you know, if we can just have that all the time, and it's hard, but sometimes you just got to tell yourself, you know, whether it's your sister or your brother, or a colleague at work, you know, I have colleagues at work that are hard to get along with, but we just need to keep telling ourselves and ask God to keep reminding us to love people with His love and to see people the way He does and to, you know, to work the way He does. So anyway, that's kind of my message today. We have lots to do in Canada. You know, we think we're helping people across seas, but there's lots of work to be done here. And if you're just sitting in church or sitting at home waiting for them to come in here, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We can't just sit in church and pray that people will come through the doors, because they won't. It's that simple. We need to be out there changing the image that Christianity has, with love. Thank you.
Thanks, Louis, for the message. And the many years of missions, bishop in Kudrapik, Louis's been very special, and it's been really neat to watch him grow spiritually. And that's exactly, hallelujah, exactly. Heavenly Father, we just do thank you for the unlimited opportunities that you offer us, Father, to bring your name to those who really need it, Father. Lord, help us to understand that this is a calling. This is what you want us to do, Lord. To reach out to family, to friends, to colleagues, to reach out to those in the street who are hurting. To show them the way, show them hope. Father, just give us the courage to do this, to understand that we're not doing it on our own, Lord. It's not something we're doing on our own. It's something that we're doing through your Holy Spirit in us. Just open up our hearts to fulfill the commission that you gave us, Father. Help us to make mission an everyday occurrence in our lives. We pray this in your most precious and glorious name. Amen. Thank you.